We're in Isaiah 54 today. What a magnificent chapter this is in the Bible. Isaiah 54. And, I read through Isaiah 54 today. It was Thursday afternoon. And I was so blessed by just reading it that later on Sherry came in for dinner. And I told her, I said, you know, I was just worshiping the Lord because I just read Isaiah 54. And she said, oh, read it to me. So I read it to her and we started worshiping together. And then she said, you've got to do this for the congregation. Just read the chapter, you know. And so before we looked at some certain points in the chapter, I just want to read it to you. So let's go ahead and just read it. Sing, O barren, thou that did not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you that did not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of your habitations. Spare not, lengthen your cords, and strengthen your stakes. For you shall break forth on the right hand and on the left. And your seed shall inherit the nations and make desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of your youth. Isn't that a great one? Just forget the shame of your youth. Hallelujah. And you shall not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. For your maker is your husband. Wow. The Lord of hosts is his name, and your redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. The God of the whole earth shall he be called. For the Lord has called you as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when you were refused, says your God. For a small moment have I forsaken you, but with great mercies will I gather you. Of course, we think of Israel being gathered. In a little wrath, I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, says the Lord your Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be angry with you, nor rebuke you. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, says the Lord that has mercy on you. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay your stones with fair colors and lay your foundations with sapphires. And I will make your windows of agates and your gates of carbuncles and all your borders of pleasant stones. And all your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Now there's one that you can pray for your kids and grandkids. Yes, all your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Take that to the Lord. That might be a personal word for some of you here. Take it to the Lord. Give your kids to the Lord. Ask for the peace of God to be upon them, and that the Lord would teach them. Yes. In righteousness shall thou be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear from terror, for it shall not come near to you. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against you shall fall for your sake. Behold, I have created the smith that blows the coals in the fire, and that brings forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. and their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. Glory to God. Now that's one fine chapter, ladies and gentlemen, is it not? With so many great promises. Can you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Yes. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Yes, yes, yes. Well, no weapon that is formed against you will prosper. And that's why the Lord can say in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good for those who love God and are the called according to His purpose. Because no weapon that is formed against you will prosper. It's said this way in another place. It says that God always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Always, always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. So as we walk with Him and talk with Him. Now the reason that all these blessings are possible are given to us in the last chapter. Let's go back to the last chapter, chapter 53. And we read in verse 11 that the Father saw the travail of His Son, His soul, on the cross. He saw that travail and shall be satisfied. The Father was satisfied that your sins were taken care of because He saw the travail of His own Son on the cross. By His knowledge shall my righteous servant, who is Jesus, justify many, for He shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide Him a portion with the great, and shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because He has poured out His soul unto death, and He was numbered with the transgressors, and He bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. And so the spoil is this chapter, chapter 54 that we just read, and following chapters. With every promise and every blessing that God promises, it's through Christ. It's always and only through the grace of God in Christ. And so the spoil is what Jesus was happy about. Because you see, you and I are the strong, because in our weaknesses He is made strong. And you and I are the great. It actually tells us in the Bible that we are His inheritance. We are His portion. So it says here, I will divide Him a portion with the great, and He shall divide the spoil with the strong. And so the Lord takes our weaknesses and makes us strong and takes us to heaven with Him and into the millennial reign of Christ. And blesses us and blesses us and blesses us again with these things that we're reading about and the things that happen. And that's why Jesus was so happy to go to the cross, for the joy, pure, unadulterated joy set before Him. He endured the cross, despising the shame. And the joy is you and I, His brethren, His wife, we're the bride of Christ. His children, as many as received Him, gave He power to become the children of God. There's so many different relationships that God uses to compare our relationship with Him. And why is that? Because how we love our children, how we love our wife and husband, how we love the Father, our Father who art in heaven. And we know what that feels like because we're human. And we have these relationships here that God fulfills for eternity in Himself and in His Son. Glory to God. It's all good. It's all good. And it is a greatly blessed thing. And so we read all of these wonderful things that we just read in Isaiah 54. Now I want to talk to you in particular about a few things today from this chapter. Let's go to verse 5. Verse 5. Now it says in verse 5, for your Maker is your husband. What a great husband to have. And this is what I always like to bring to single moms. Wow. Praise the Lord. You've got a really solid husband if it's the Lord. Man, He never makes any mistakes. His discipline is always for our profit. And His dealings with us are always for absolute good for us. Whereas earthly husbands, oh, they can make mistakes. Oh, yeah, just ask any husband. You might ask the one next to you. Do you ever make mistakes? No, not me. Oh, yes, they do, don't they? But your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called, and he will be careful to take really good care of his wife. I want to encourage you, single moms, when things just are really hard and you're just having a hard time getting through, look to the Lord. He's your husband, and he will come and comfort you and take care of you and cause miracles to happen for you. I've seen it again and again in our sweet congregation here, how the Lord does take those part. It takes our part with those that help us. He's the comforter, the paracletus, the one who comes alongside to help. And it is very, very encouraging to think of that. Now, I'd like to take you back to the second part of verse 1, because it says here, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, says the Lord. This is beginning now to speak about spiritual children. Many times, even singles, yes, the Apostle Paul was as single as it comes. And he was such a great fruit bearer for Jesus Christ. And so his children, yes, are more than those of a married wife because of all of his spiritual children. And it talks here about ministries. Next in verse 2, enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch forth curtains of your habitation. Spare not, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you shall break forth on the right hand and on the left, and your seed shall inherit the nations and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Now this is true of the nation Israel as God is building their cities again and getting them ready for the millennial reign of Jesus and taking them on into eternity. But it's also true for us, for these blessings are upon the servants of the Lord. This heritage is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. We read that in verse 17 very clearly. And so God has grafted us in to the blessings of Israel. And you know what? The very smallest thing that you do for the Lord takes that and blesses it and multiplies it. Cast your seed upon the water, and it will return to you. And you will be bringing in sheaves of produce and blessings that God has taken and broken and blessed and sent out and brought wonderful blessings back. This is our Lord. This is our God. So she that is desolate will have more children than the married wife and be able to enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch forth curtains of your habitations. Spare not, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, and just know that God can use you mightily. You know, I think the only reason that God holds back showing you all that he's doing with your life when you do those little things for him, you offer up those spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ and only through him. But as you do that and it begins to multiply and cause treasures in heaven, I think the only reason that God can't show us all the treasures because we get really prideful. And then you can't be used anymore. But we just go along and we have faith in the Word of God. And we're washed with this water of the Word. And we're just let know you are so wonderfully used of God if you just love him and just even give a cup of cold water to another disciple. Jesus said, truly, you will not lose your reward. There'll be a reward even for that. He watches very carefully, and he writes these things down in heaven in the book of remembrances. Yes, he does. And he keeps every tear that you cry in his bottle in heaven. He knows you that intimately. I mean, how intimate is a husband and wife? How intimate is a father, son? How intimate are close brothers and sisters in the Lord? That's all what the Lord is to us. And He brings all of it. He brings everything to the table because He paid dearly to have that privilege. He paid dearly to buy you. We are purchased not with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And how much more will He freely give us all things if He spared not His own Son? And so He brings it all to the table, and He brings all the blessings daily, loading us with benefits and letting us know about it. And so this is very precious of the Lord, very precious. You know, there's an old movie I want to share with you real quick that just really speaks of this idea of not really knowing how much you're doing for the Lord, but God is doing so much. And the name of the movie is Goodbye, Mr. Chips. And it's old enough to not have anything offensive in it. There is not one thing offensive in this movie. So Sherry and I like to watch this movie. Anyway, Mr. Chipping is a school teacher. And he comes to the school in Europe and he begins to teach there. And he begins to get to know these boys that will grow up. And their children then will come to the school. And then he gets to know the children. And then the grandchildren. And they all love him and he loves all of them. And eventually he becomes the master of the school. And he goes through the war as different fathers have to go off to war that he had actually taught in school. And their kids and grandkids are coming to his school now. And he ends up, you know, comforting them in the loss of some of their fathers. And it's just a really, sentimental type movie. But he gets married. But his wife passes away and they have no children. And so at the end of his life, he's there at this school and he's dying. He's on his deathbed. And the doctor's there and this one man comes in. He looks at Mr. Chips, Chipping, Dr. Chipping. And he says, you know, I know he was married for a while, but he never had any children. And then you see Mr. Chipping laying there, you know, getting ready to pass away, and he says in a really soft voice, oh yes, I had children, hundreds of them. And then it shows these pictures of when the kids, and all the through the movie you see this, these kids coming up and say, hello Mr. Chipping, and shaking his hand, and it's the grandfather, you know, and then the kid, goodbye Mr. Chips. At the end of the semester, and they shake his hand as he stands at the door of the school. Goodbye, Mr. Chips. Goodbye, Mr. Chips. And all of these boys, all of these people that he's affected in his life. And then he passes away. And man, you just cry and cry. Such a great movie. I love those tearjerkers. But it is so true. It's so true. And I just believe, and I just know from the scriptures that we read, and the way that God ministers, this is just true about heaven. This is just going to happen. As you have taken time for anyone, you've just gone out of your way a little bit in the name of Jesus to say one word, to say one comforting thing. Many people have the gift of friendship evangelism. And you know, that's kind of putting a tag on just who somebody is. They get to know somebody at work. And this person is so lost and so messed up, it's just amazing. But that person is a Christian light to them. And they're always next to them to try to help them along, to try to give them the helpful hint, to have a good word from the Lord. A word fitly spoken is like golden apples in silver settings. Remember that verse that we had a few weeks ago? And just to say that right thing at a right time to this person that you rub shoulders with at work all the time is just messed up. They're just messed up. But they'll never read the Bible. You're the only Bible they'll ever read. They'll never go to church. You're the church. But your good word ministers the Lord, and the Lord's up there cheering for you and taking that word that was said and working in that person's mind late at night in their beds and bringing about resurrection and salvation in the day of visitation when he comes to them and says, it's time for you to get saved. It's beautiful what God can do and will do, and every one of us are part of this, and it's awesome. And you will spring forth on the right hand and spring forth on the left hand. And your seed, those people that are affected by what you've said to them or how you've ministered to them or what kind deeds you did for them in the name of Jesus, will inherit the nations. The meek shall inherit the earth one day. And all of those people are going to be so thankful for you. And you can really start a chain reaction, you know, as you train up your children in the way they shall go. And when they're old, they will not depart from it. They'll remember the blessings of mom and dad, of grandpa and grandma, and the way they lived. And they're going to try to follow suit and go with it. And Jesus said, hey, isn't that what I told you guys? Go. Go with it and let it flow and just be open to those things that God has. Amen? All right. Well, let's go ahead and look at something else here in this wonderful chapter. Now, verse 9 is very telling and so greatly appreciated that Isaiah mentions Noah right here. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be angry with you, nor rebuke you, that as the Lord has his plans for your life, rebuke at the end of your life is not in the plan. He does not want to rebuke you. And so he says, I've sworn that I would not be angry with you nor rebuke you. I look back up at verse 4. Fear not, for you shall not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for you shall not be put to shame. For you shall forget the shame of your youth and shall not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. And that is the most wonderful promise that the Lord can give. Now, you probably know someone else that mentions Noah in the Bible. His name starts with J. Jesus mentions Noah. And he mentions him in the context of talking about the second coming of Christ. And this is really an important teaching for us. And I think here in Isaiah is the same kind of thing is going on at the end of our lives. And when Jesus establishes his kingdom, just as God had promised to Noah that he would not flood the earth anymore, he's promised that he will not rebuke us at the end of our lives. But when we see him, we'll be like him. All of those bad things we might have done through our lives will be just burnt away, all the wood, hay, and stubble. And all that's left is the gold, silver, and precious stones. And we will receive a reward for those things that he was able to do through us. Nothing that we've done will remain, but only what he's done through us and receiving that reward. And so these promises. Now let's go and see what Jesus says about his second coming concerning Noah. So let's go to Matthew 24 in the New Testament, Matthew 24 and verse 37. Matthew 24, verse 37. And Jesus puts it this way: as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other one left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other one left. So this is actually talking about the rapture of the church, isn't it? And we have two people, and that's going to happen really fast. And the song that we sing about this is so true. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind. Yeah, because it's going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that the rapture will happen and one will be taken up to the Lord and the other one left. But it's going to be as in the day of Noah. So this lets me know, and this is one of the verses that really ministered to my heart as I was studying seriously to see what tribulation theory to go with. And so I'm very solidly, and have been for years now, what's called a pre-trib believer. I believe that the Bible teaches clearly that before the tribulation period happens on the earth involving the wrath of God, I will be removed. I will receive no rebuke, as it says in Isaiah, and be removed into heaven through the rapture of the church. The Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and we that are still alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And we're to comfort one another with these words. Because it says, as in the days of Noah. Well, the days of Noah, before the flood, they were drinking and marrying and eating and giving in marriage. They were having weddings and wedding receptions and parties and receptions and drinking normally and eating normally. Things as normal are going on. But in the first chapter that describes the tribulation period in Revelation chapter 6 at the end, it says that the kings and the free men and the bondmen and every man on earth and woman will hide themselves in dens and caves and beg that the rocks fall upon them, because they say, the wrath of the Lamb is come, and who is able to stand against the wrath of the Lamb? And so it's quite a different picture, isn't it? Can you picture them getting married and having wedding receptions? No, they're in the rocks and the caves, and they're crying out that even that the rocks would fall on them because of the wrath of God has come. But we're told in 1 Thessalonians 5:8 and 9, we have not been appointed to wrath, but to the obtaining of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And so we'll be snatched out of here like Noah was brought above the waters of destruction. So we will be taken up to the clouds above the great tribulation period in the pre-trib rapture. And so I'm happy to get that scripture. And so one will be left in the field and the other one taken. Now, for those that are left, they have to face the Antichrist, who makes it necessary for them to take his mark on their hand or their forehead in order to buy or to sell. And for those folks, they will be martyred if they refuse the mark. Martyred. And he will kill them. And so it's better to accept Jesus now and fly first and not later. Get on the plane, man, or get on the train, however you want to put it, and you won't be left behind. And that is so good to remember and to know, and I know that most of you have done that. Prepare yourself in the Lord Jesus. Open your heart to Him. Accept the Lord and be ready for the rapture when He comes, which is really going to be pretty soon, because Israel is back in the land. Yes, they are. And they're being threatened pretty readily. And the scripture just tells us about a big battle that's going to take place, and Russia's going to be involved, and Iran, and they're going to attack Israel. But Israel's going to win. They're going to destroy 5/6 of their army. And they will be established, strengthened, and settled. And that's the beginning of the end. And Jesus will return and fight that great final battle that Hollywood tries to work on, but they don't do very well. The Battle of Armageddon. And that's the final battle before He sets up His kingdom. And we will be coming with Him from heaven after being raptured and there with Him on the honeymoon for 7 years. We'll be coming back with Jesus to set up His kingdom with the strong. Yes. And the spoil will be there for Him with the strong and with the great. And He's made us great and made us strong. What a blessing it all is, this plan of God. And it begins with the rapture, which will be soon appearing. That's why the skylight's here. I always mention that. That wasn't there when we got this building. I said, you know, I want light. I want natural light. So we said, I want windows in every room and the rooms around the church. They were $1,000 a piece. But you just drill through and you make windows and you make a 12-foot skylight. That's a good idea, because a lot of us will fit through that when the rapture happens. Oh, don't you love it? I just love it. So there you are. This connection with Isaiah and Noah and this beautiful thing that we see through our Lord Jesus, because He wrote the whole book. You know, He knew that Noah would be mentioned by Isaiah, and He inspired that, and now He brings it up again to encourage us with the rapture of the church. He said, pray always. Pray always that you will be accounted worthy to escape these things and to stand before the Son of Man. Those that are complaining about the wrath of God in chapter 6 of Revelation are saying, the wrath of the Lamb is coming. Who can stand? We can stand. We can stand. Because we're just to pray always that we will be able to escape these things and to stand before the Son of Man. Those are the words of Jesus Christ, our Savior. So I just quote those to you. And so I pray often. I say, Lord, in Jesus' name, would you please account me and all of mine, all of my children, Lord, and all that I know and love at Calvary Anaheim and all around, to be counted worthy to escape these things and to stand before the Son of Man. And the way that we're ever anywhere even near worthy is through Jesus. Let's say Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. One more time. Jesus is Lord. One more time. Jesus is Lord. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. If you can say that and mean it in your heart, it's because the Holy Spirit is living in you. And you are just expressing that blessed salvation that you know and love. Hallelujah. Well, let's take a look at our new home. How about that? Let's go back to Isaiah for this last point I wanted to bring out of this wonderful chapter, Isaiah chapter 54. And take a look with me at verse 11 and 12. You might identify at some time that you might remember in your life, or maybe you're going through something now, from verse 11. Oh, thou afflicted. Yes, if you're afflicted. Tossed with tempest. You ever toss and turn in your bed, can't sleep? Something is bothering you so bad. Oh, thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted. You've tried Rocky Road ice cream. You've tried a good movie, you've tried everything, but you're just not comforted. You're just not getting any comfort. Well, you need to go back to the Lord. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay your stones with fair colors and lay your foundations with sapphires. I will make your windows of agates and your gates of carbuncles and all your borders of pleasant stones. What a great promise. And this is really referring to the New Jerusalem, because the New Jerusalem has many precious stones involved. And we'll read that scripture in Revelation in a minute. But before we do, just a bit of Bible trivia. In verse 12, it talks about the windows in the New Jerusalem here. And in Revelation, it doesn't mention the windows. It mentions other precious stones in the walls. But here it says, I will make your windows of agates. I have always loved agates. And maybe some of you don't know what an agate is. Well, it's just a very beautiful stone. And when we were little kids, we used to play marbles. And yeah, Jerry says, yeah, he remembers this. In school, you would draw a circle in the sand on the playground with your finger. And then all your friends would bring their bag of marbles, and there was puris, and then very few agates, because agates were real expensive. But you would try to win an agate with all of your might, you know. And what you do to win is you take a marble in your thumb and your finger like this, and you try to hit another marble out of the ring that you drew. And if it hit it out, it belongs to you. And your marble bag gets bigger. And man, to win an agate, that was the Oseraat, man. That's like buttered bread to get an agate. And so agates, and it says your windows of agates. I like this. Now, have you ever heard of a geode? A geode is a rock that you break it open, and inside are just these beautiful stalactite looking like jewels and things, you know, that stick out and everything. And just these beautiful stones. And you can buy one of those at Knott's Berry Farm. And I think Jeremiah was kind of giving his testimony about getting engaged to Jennifer a couple weeks ago. And Sherry said, oh, he didn't share about what he did to propose to her. So that's what I'm going to do right now. So Jeremiah bought it. These two just got married. Congratulations, you guys. 2 days ago, right? Yeah, that's so good. Praise the Lord. They're from Oregon. Yes, yeah, coming down here to visit Disneyland, right, for your honeymoon. So you're staying in the hotel? Oh, man, yeah, the princess room? Okay, that's great. Anyway, so Jeremiah bought a geode, and so he had it, it was in half, and so what he did is he put the engagement ring inside the geode and then put it back together, and they went up to Keys View and Joshua Tree, and then he said, oh, look at that strange rock there. And he reached down and pulled up the rock, you know. And then he says, oh, look, it's kind of loose or something. And opened it up, and there's the engagement ring. I thought that was so cool. I mean, you know, guys have to, you know, sit around and think of good ways to do this, you know. But that's the way he did it. Anyway, we're talking about stones. Well, with that, let's just, before I go on too long about all these things, let's go to Revelation and chapter 21. And verse 18. Okay, Revelation 21:18. Now this is talking about the walls of the New Jerusalem, which is kind of, it's the building actually where we will be housed from time to time. And the New Jerusalem is known as the Bride of the Lamb. And who's the Bride of the Lamb? That's you and I. So we're going to have something to do with this New Jerusalem. And I've heard many things about it. And the one I liked the best was that some mathematician, and I don't know how he did this, you know, so I can't tell you that, but he just said that each one of us will get a square mile of land. You know, I like that idea, a square mile of land, like Mile Square Park is yours, you know, kind of thing. That would be cool, but we'll see. Anyway, it says, the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold like the clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third was chalcedony, the fourth was emerald, the fifth sardonyx, and the sixth sardius, and the seventh chrysolite, and the eighth was beryl, and the ninth topaz, the tenth was chrysophias, the 11th ajazinx, and the 12th an amethyst. So we have all these stones, and you know, I have a collection of these stones right here, and they're all in little boxes, and you can come up and look at the stones and just look on the back. This is beryl. And take a look if you'd like to see the stones that God describes and how exactly this will look. And I imagine the architecture will be outstanding, because this is God we're talking about, you know. He's been working on this place for 2,000 years. It only took him 6 days to make Yosemite and all these beautiful parks that we have here on Earth now, make the Earth and all that's in it. Took him 6 days. He's been working on this place for 2,000 years, you know, so it's going to be something. So if you want to come up and look at those stones later, that would be a blessing. But you know, in all these promises, the things that we have to hold on to right now today are probably most important to us. Great shall be the peace of your children. You can use that to work in prayer, especially when you're worried about your kids. And no weapon that is formed against you will prosper. Whenever you feel intimidated or attacked, know that God has said to you that no weapon that is formed against you will prosper, and hold on to that. And let the peace of God rule in your heart as you commit to prayer, whatever that attack is. And as we are just looking forward to seeing Jesus, know that there won't be any rebuke involved in that, nor shame. That the Lord Jesus has handled these things for you on the cross. When he said, "It is finished," he meant it was finished. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, may the God of peace sanctify you wholly, body, soul, and spirit, and present you blameless before his throne. Faithful is he who called you, who will also do it. He's working on you, and he does good work. And we'll see him one day. Let's pray together. Let's pray together. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in our lives. We thank you for these promises to Jerusalem, to Israel as a nation. Father, to us as individuals who belong to Christ, making us of Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise we've been grafted in as believers in Jesus Christ. So we thank you so much, Lord, that all these promises belong also to us, and that you have made them because you want us to believe them and enjoy them. So, Lord, just continue to lead us day by day, rejoicing in what you have done and just turning to you at every turn, Lord. Thank you, Father. Bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So God bless you. Just give you a great day, and may the Lord just help you along the way. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.